The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you? I'm out, Greg. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick. Boom.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Come on, people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Show. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
All right, let's do it. Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Andrew Raycroft Razor's here. Hello.
Good morning. I'm here, yes.
Yeah, you are here. You are here. Your eyes are half open.
Yeah, I feel good.
No, you feel good. I'm going to pump you up in a second.
Yep.
Megan Arnolini, how are you? Megan?
Good. Am I getting pumped up too?
Yeah. I mean, you're like you thrive. Your veins are coursing with Diet Mountain Dew or whatever.
No, this is Ghost.
Oh,
today. I went with a big dog.
Oh,
and, I went with a big dog.
What I love about those cans. What I love about the energy drinks, those sort of thing. You get the Ghost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at, like, the marketing. Look at the packaging. They have all kinds of symbols. No, spin it around. I bet they have a brain with a lightning bolt coming
out of
it.
Is this, like, do you have a some kind of Mason conspiracy of,
no,
like,
no, I just, I think
Freemasons are somewhere. They have symbols hidden in the Ghost energy drink.
Look, there's a lightning bolt going into a brain somewhere.
Okay,
in that
yeah,
can.
Right here.
Right, exactly. They all have the lightning bolt going into the brain.
Legendary energy, epic focus, zero sugars. I don't know why I'm not getting a sponsored read for this right now.
Razor, I would imagine.
Or a heart attack.
Like, Razor, like, you are very well preserved. I would imagine you don't touch that stuff, right?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm very well preserved.
You are.
I mean, I have my vices, but energy drinks are not
no.
one of them. Yeah,
no. You're a
like
coffee
even
guy?
Never Red Bull. Yeah, just one in the morning though. Straight black coffee in the morning, espresso, and then that's it.
Huh?
Yeah,
espresso.
Yes.
What?
Canadians are almost European.
Correct. We're right on the fence,
yeah.
But I ice it, so it that does. You know, the Italians would put their nose up at me.
It's so good to see you both. It's so good to see
Thanks,
you both.
Bradford.
I begin every podcast by saying there's nobody I'd rather talk to than XXX. But I honestly, there's nobody I'd rather talk to than you two in so many different ways. And we had a great show, Jackson, yesterday, didn't we?
You're damn right we did.
We talked about saunas. We talked about tattoos. Do you have any tattoos, Razor?
I have one, yes.
Ooh. I mean, you don't seem very excited
about it. Yeah, that's an opening. You have to now talk about it.
So I have a...
Oh, it's on your wrist.
Yeah, I have one on my wrist.
You don't sound super excited.
No, I like it. I actually want to do more. Like, I so many times I wanted to pull the trigger, And do more. I almost did a few times, like, and it just happened that I couldn't get the guy that I wanted to do
it. L.I. Frady?
Now I'm, like, at the point where, you know, I'm 44, 45, like, where I also know I could do it and it's not, like, affecting a job that I get later in the future.
No,
you know, like, there was
the
a little
job.
Bit of that. At some, yes, yeah. Well, it's depending on what job you want to do, but I officially know I'm not going to do those jobs.
Well, I also don't think that that's been a thing now, unless you're going to be a politician or something.
Yeah, no.
I don't even think of that. I think it's a pro, not a con.
I think, like, in the last 10 years, it's just become, like, who cares?
Like, we just went through this. Jackson has, like, three. They were done with, like, rusty spoons when he was 18.
Yeah, all three of my tattoos I got when I was 18.
What was the one? Yeah. Paranoid?
Yeah, Paranoid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are good ones.
It was a band. The band changed the name, like, a week
later.
Yeah,
I was in a band.
So now he's just stuck with this big thing that says Paranoid on it.
Yeah. That was not my smartest decision.
Yeah, so I was going to go, like, kids' names or something like that, like something, but I haven't done it again.
How about you, Mego?
Hell no.
Oh, really?
The only needles I get close to are if my doctor says I have to or for my Botox. I don't want anything else.
Oh, all right.
Okay? There's no, I don't do that.
It's like a Botox needle. This is like the...
No. I've heard it's so painful.
No, it wasn't.
Because you get ink put in.
Yeah. But it's not like...
I don't want to go too much into it because I hate talking about myself. But it's...
Did it hurt a lot?
I just had... I don't know if you know this, so I just had one done.
Oh, okay.
Right here.
Yeah, that hurts.
On the inside.
Big one.
Big one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long?
Was over an hour.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, you know, no pain, no gain. So this is we talked yesterday, guys, about the evolution of everything. And this is another example.
You talked about the evolution
of everything. The evolution of everything. Like,
that's a big show.
Let's not do that tonight.
It
got us to 10 o'clock. All I know is this. It was the jumping off point was Netflix, how we have to sort of embrace Netflix, like we have to watch football games on Netflix.
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I had no problem. But the point is that everyone, old man yelling at Cloud saying, no, I need John Madden on channel seven.
Yeah.
Or whatever. No, this is the way it's going. So that's my point, is that there's a lot of stuff that we have to get our head around. Netflix being one of them. It's not going away. And it wasn't bad, right?
No, I thought it was good. The one thing that is brilliant for Netflix, it hit me like the lightning bolt on Mego's energy drink.
Delicious.
Was that you can't flip the channel at a commercial. So, I mean, you are absolutely captivated. The advertisers will spend huge money to get on Netflix because I can't turn my channel because I'm not going back to cable. Like, I'm not going. It's a pain in the butt to change things around. I just watch the commercials for the first time.
Right. And you're walking around, and I know that everything's on your phone and but it's even more on your phone and laptop, and feel like it. In order to stream Fox or whatever it's a pain, right?
Yep.
But to your point, it wasn't a bad thing, and this is one of the things we can get to today if you guys want. But the ratings came out, and the whole Christmas Day thing, football versus basketball, holy crap, it wasn't even, I mean... Predictably, it wasn't. Sorry, Mego.
This is the worst thing that's happened to basketball, because I would watch basketball once a year. I would watch basketball once a year, and it was on Christmas, and they will never get me ever again now.
Sorry, Mego.
I know you love basketball.
Right.
What did you watch on before you almost died driving back from Washington?
That happened before Christmas Day.
Okay.
So I got to be totally honest. I'm going to be transparent here. Watched the early game, the early NFL game. Went to go see, and I thought that this was a perfect setup. Went with my family to see the Bob Dylan movie, which
review
was
coming.
Incredibly delightful.
Oh, okay. Good.
I guess the review's not coming. There it is.
Incredibly delightful. Okay. I did not have high hopes going into it.
All right.
And then came back and had seen that the second NFL game was a total loser, and watched the second half of the Celtics game, and then got really bummed out and drank a lot.
Okay.
Because they lost.
So you had no interest in watching LeBron and Steph and nothing like that. But
no,
so you as a basketball person, like, your priorities.
I think the NBA is doing it wrong completely with the LeBron and Steph thing. And I know that the ratings reflect that was the highest watched game of the day.
And a close game, by the way.
They got to move on from the LeBron and Steph stuff. Like, that's what the problem is. The league is in this weird place of transition where it's LeBron and Steph, and then it's Jokic and Doncic and Giannis, and people are like, who are these guys? They come from farms in Europe somewhere.
I'm just going to say, I hate to tell you, but that's like, your NBA is turning into hockey.
Yes, well, I was how thinking they, this
like, hockey's
in.
Actually marketing their players better than basketball, which is absolutely
who's
wild.
Who's the next giant basketball player who's coming up? It's Wemby.
Yeah.
It's another, it's more of a worldwide thing.
And he's in San Antonio, which doesn't help matters, let's be honest. And you're right. So we talked about this the other day, and people want to weigh in 617-779-7937. On with you till 10 o'clock, and it's going to be awesome. But let it be said, let it be done. But we talked about this the other day, and I know that, Mego, you had an opinion about the whole NBA, what's happening with the NBA. And I think that the Christmas Day thing isn't fair to the NBA because you have no chance against the NFL, right?
NFL rules.
Right, the NFL. We all know this.
Especially this time of year when the teams are coming up on the playoffs.
And also, let's not forget it's a Wednesday and everybody like, oh my goodness, I get to watch a football game on Wednesday that's not Boise State or something like that, right? So that was great for them.
Catching a stray.
But
the blue turf.
Sorry. I mean, Boise State would be a hot, unbelievable game on Wednesday. It's not even like Appalachian State. Anyway, so, but one of the things that we talked to also about the dynamic players, about how the NBA player teams and the NBA don't really have those dynamic players because the stars are, for whatever reason, old, or Jokic and Doncic, who are like playing Nerf hoop, where
people
you're just backing guys down.
They're not as into the itches.
Right. And hockey, it's they're trying, but there is some guys where they said, okay, you know what? Look at these guys. These are the guys that you want to tune into. These are the guys who are dynamic players. These are the guys, they don't run isolations in hockey, but a lot of times it feels that way, and that's what you want, right? You wanted to tune into Jordan to say, hey, everybody, you four guys, clear out. I'm taking over. There's not a lot of guys like that, and if they do that, they do what Tatum does, which is, hey, I'm going to take a step back three. Boring. You know what I'm saying?
I think the league, and I don't know how all of a sudden we... the conversation was that nobody is watching the NBA because of the NFL, and now we're just having the NBA conversation. The league would love for it to be Anthony Edwards because he's sassy. He talks a lot of crap on the court. Like, they want that drama. That's who they want to elevate, but he's just not there yet. And I guess SGA, because he's a fellow Canadian, like, they're like, well, close enough. Yep. North America, we can work with that. Otherwise, I don't know. I say that Tatum is exactly what the league hath wrought. Because they wanted their players around the Allen Iverson era. They were like, oh, no, we got to put in a dress code. These guys, we got to, like, teach them how to manage their money. We got to teach them
corporate.
How. Exactly. Go totally clean-cut corporate.
Yeah, no
everything.
More Scooby. Remember Joe Forte wore the Scooby-Doo shirt on the bench? You probably don't. That was before your time. Go ahead.
So, I love Tatum, but now it's like, oh, well, Tatum doesn't say anything. Tatum, the only thing Tatum shows you is, like, what a great dad he is. Like, oh, Tatum's not dramatic enough. And it's like, well, this is what the league wanted. This is what they were looking for. And now they don't like how it shows.
Razor, let me ask you this along those lines, because we're talking about, you know, what is, if we looked at the evolution of, let's say, broadcasting, I said this yesterday, we would never said at this time last year that Netflix would be having an NFL game on Christmas. We wouldn't even say that. Now it's happening. Now it's happening for the next 3 years. There are all kinds of things where we say this is never going to happen or this isn't happening, and the next thing you know, it happens. Part of that is personality. So let me ask you this for the NHL, because I focus so much on MLB. And MLB has been the absolute chasing their tail worst. And the example that I always give, it wasn't that long ago, they only let these guys put two colors on their cleats, which is insane. It's crazy. And the NBA, and they always pointed to the NBA, look at what the NBA is doing. Look at what the NBA is doing. But now, to Mego's point, maybe that's going the other way. For the NHL, what are they doing? It's not like it's not like you can like have tie-dye cleats or something like that, but what are they doing? Are they doing on anything?
No, it's night and day. The access to the dressing rooms, access to microphones during games that guys have. You look at David Pastrnak. I mean, who doesn't like that guy? I mean, he and they've what they've done is they've just allowed the guys to just a little bit be themselves. I mean, when I played,
you weren't allowed to
flip a puck to somebody in the stands in warm up. We weren't allowed to look at people in the warm ups. We weren't allowed to give out our sticks. It's like if you're doing that,
why?
If you're doing that, the coaches thought you weren't focused. You weren't ready.
Coaches were the
old school culture. Like we had a bad old school culture where you had all the guys. I don't know if you were in rooms in the early 2000s, but the guys were old and they were mad and they were angry and that's why they fought each other all the time. But they were also like, that's how you made it. You had to have an edge. And now the superstars, you know, David can go out and flip pucks to the crowd and Brad can grab someone's phone and selfie someone during the game and before the game. And now you can talk to them and they're allowed to actually say stuff as well. They're not just the cliches. Of course, there's still many cliches in sports, but hockey's done a good job of getting it out. You got the Amazon show that goes in behind David Pastrnak's life and Michael Nylander. In the middle of the playoffs, they're showing these guys. So the NHL is doing a really good job in showing these guys the players are embracing social media. They're embracing Instagram and TikTok and all these things on a personal brand level, but also the teams are allowing them to do that as well. So, we did an altcast with Nesson with Ryan Whitney of Spitting Chiclets.
You know why? On
the 23rd.
Because he's good for business.
On the 23rd. Right. Well
yeah, it's all good for business.
It could have been good for business 10 years ago, but they decided not to do it. Right. Now the mentality's changed. Like, oh, this is good for business. This is good for everybody. Let's have fun with this and lean into it rather than pull away from it.
Well, so I have to ask. So you talk about the coaches. Okay, the coaches are one thing. Coaches, if a coach sees you flipping a puck up in the stands, they're like, hey, you know, Ray Kraft, what are you doing? What are you doing? But it's more than that. It's more than I'll go back to baseball where this element of, hey, If you're a young player, don't you dare show your personality because I'm the veteran and I'm sitting next to you in the locker room and just sit in the corner and don't you dare. And I'll give you an example right now. A guy right now who we talk about on these airwaves during the season and he has become so polarizing because of it is Tristan Casas. Tristan Casas is a guy when he's playing well, everybody loves him. Like he's wacky, everybody loves him. But I can tell you when he's not playing – and he's eating wasabi, and he's sitting in the batter's box for 20 minutes, staring at air, like all this stuff.
Yeah, because it's weird, Brad.
Right? But the point is, it's weird. But we should be saying we should like weird. Like, but people take a lot of people take offense to it because no, you can't show your personality, including by the way, guys on his own team. So, I mean, this is some stuff that I think is evolving. You
know, it is. The one thing hockey has going for it compared to baseball and basketball, for that matter, is Brad Marchand can go out and he can do an interview with TNT and rip the hose and do the whole thing. But then he's going to go out and block a 90-mile-an-hour slap or two, where baseball, he might strike out three times.
Right.
And basketball, he's going to load manage the next night and take the night off. Like, hockey still has that hardness to it just because of the way the game's played and how you still have to get hit in the face with sticks and pucks and you can look tough while still doing the fun stuff. Whereas some, at times, Tristan, like I think, and you see it on the call, like he's soft. Like he's still a soft guy because he's doing all of that stuff, even though he could be the hardest baseball player of all time. My mentality is, well, he's not as tough as a hockey player.
Yeah. And with basketball, it's the same thing. Like basketball, I almost feel like a lot of this stuff, the interviews, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the interviews have gotten boring, like, which is bizarre. They have personality, and we see the personality. It's almost for the NBA guys. They do it almost on their terms because the walk-off interviews. You mentioned the Marshawn thing.
Yeah.
That was with
Biz.
Biz,
and
right?
Ripping Biz.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is great. Which is awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Which is awesome. But, you know, the closest we come to that with the NBA is Barkley and Shaq and those guys. But even then, Tatum is like, okay.
Well, they're pretty, if you think about it, they're pretty far from being peers of the players.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Biz and Marchand, it's more like, hey, it's a friendly thing. So, like, I trust we're going to have fun and you're not going to completely screw me over on air or talk about me in a way that I don't like or that isn't good for my brand with NBA. I mean, the difference between Shaq and Barkley and SGA and Tatum, like, that's beyond generational.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like two generations in between those guys.
And you talked about Michael Jordan, like, basketball then, these guys went at each other every single night. It was a war out there, and that's changed too.
I like the fact where you said, like, guys were so angry and uptight they just had to fight each other. That's good.
That's what it was.
I love it. Yeah. Much like the holiday season.
Correct.
What a segue. All right, we're going to get into our holiday seasons because we were here yesterday. Jack, I know that things I knew about Jackson, he fell in the shower twice. He got a banjo. What else, Jackson? Anything else? And then you came in here.
That about wraps it up.
That's
my Christmas season.
Well, these guys weren't here, Jackson, so we got to pick through what happened with them. And also, we, of course, have the leads coming up. So everybody join on in, 617-779-7937. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Andrew Raycroft and Megan Onalini. Here's Jackson doing the trend.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Subaru. The Bruins take their 5-game point streak to Columbus tonight. They play at 7 o'clock with the Blue Jackets. The Celtics welcome the Pacers tonight at 7:30. A stinker of a Thursday night football game as the Seahawks beat the Bears
6-3.
Yeah, what a game, huh?
Awful.
And there's literally nothing else going on in sports, so that's what's trending on WEEI.
No bridge references? No, nothing?
There was really nothing.
Again, we're going to workshop.
We're going to have to workshop. Yeah, we're going to have to dig deep and find some fun stuff for trending. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is a real deep cut, Jackson.
I know. It's my favorite Bob Dylan song.
Oh, wow. You're the only one.
It's the only Bob Dylan song you know. Let's be honest.
No, I really actually can't stand most of Bob Dylan's songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Then you would hate A Complete Unknown. Don't see that movie if you don't like Bob Dylan music because 90% of the movie is him.
Wouldn't that go without saying? If you don't like the guy, don't go to the movie that's about the guy.
Well, I think you could have enjoyed. So the same guy who did this movie is the guy who did Walk the Line.
Okay, Johnny
and I think
Cash.
You could enjoy Walk the Line even if you weren't like really into Johnny Cash music because it's this great. It's kind of like it's almost like a dark rom com. It's this great love story.
Did you like The Doors? Did you see The Doors?
No, I mean I've seen it with what's his name?
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Yeah. I like Val Kilmer a lot, but I don't really like Doors that much. Like.
All right.
I know it sounds weird, but the keyboard always distracts me in Doors songs, and he sounds like a lounge singer.
Yeah, that's what the Chilean miners also complained about. Yeah. All right, that's Megan Onalini, Jackson behind the glass. Andrew Craycroft is here. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Greg Hill Show.
Too much keyboard in the Doors.
I can't get this straw through the ground and too much keyboard. All right. Well, we're off to a great start. I love being here with you guys. It's a good time. And I do, before we get to the what do you call it?
They're called leads.
Leads. Yes. I keep saying trends.
Trends. No, that's what we do at the 15.
I know. That's the one you want to workshop. We got to talk about the trending.
The trending was like 15 seconds.
By the time we get to the 9 o'clock trend, it's going to be an epic. It's going to be like War and Peace.
We're going to make some sports news then.
Can you write a poem for the 9 o'clock trend?
Sure.
Can you do that?
I can do that.
Just let it. Okay. We have documented proof. All right. Well, before we get to the leads, I do want to get to this call. David in the car. David in the car. What's going on, David? How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to everyone.
You as well.
So here's the thing, what I see. So I'm a little bit older than all of you. I was born in the mid-60s. And the problem with players these days, there's a lot of talent out there, but they're soft. you know, you don't have that fire. The players don't have that fire. And I think Grazer kind of touched base on that. You know, you don't have that fire. Players, like, they can't stand other players from other teams, their rivals. You know, so you lose that. Everybody's still worried about being friends. That's like with coaches and players, players to players with their rivals. They're hanging out together. They're buddy-buddies. So that fire that used to exist between teams, between rivals, it doesn't exist anymore. And that's kind of what's going away. And it's, in a way, it's kind of sad because that drove you as a fan when you saw these teams together, and you don't see that now. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna play a game, almost the attitude. And we lose, like, we're not pissed off at ourselves because we lost to our rivals. Instead, at the end of the game, what do? We're hugging each other, we're high-fiving each other, and there's all this, you know, like, enjoyment. That's like, you just lost your rival. You just got knocked out of playoffs, whatever the case may be, and you're not showing it. So it makes you soft.
Razor thoughts. Thank you for the call, David.
Sports fans want their sports players to care. Just like, we want everything we do, like, society is changing very quickly on us, and some of us that are getting older, of course, love the past more and more as we get away from it. But I think at the bottom line, we as especially sports fans, but I think people and humans in general want people to care. Whether it's the guy making your coffee, whether it's the waitress that's coming in and giving you want people to care, and we don't have enough people caring in the world about what they look like or what their responsibilities are as humans for everyone else. And I think that goes into sports. I think
feel like Razor went to the worst diner ever this morning?
No, I didn't know. I did not get up early enough to go to a diner before
I
this.
I said egg whites.
Know, yeah, that's right. But no, I think there's a lot of that. And you always hear that. And I think about the sports, and I think that football as you know, the old school guys would say it's gotten soft. It's still the sport that has changed the least.
Really? Because I almost thought, other than less fighting.
Correct. Well, that's right.
Like, so I was thinking about
hockey,
this.
Hockey hasn't changed either, except right. for the fighting and some of the state. Like, it's gotten softer too,
yeah.
but less soft than some of the other.
Well, a big part of this is, you know, caring. And all these people, when you do the jersey exchange in the NBA or the NFL, they'll say, hey, listen, I care. I'm just being friendly. Where a lot of people say, hey, how can you do that? How can you ever do that? But and I don't know in hockey if that's changed at all. If there's the interaction. Usually the great thing about hockey, you would know much better than I would, but I always love the, I just got in this massive brawl with a guy and I'm seeing in the hallway and like, hey, good fight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm collecting your teeth for later.
Yeah, yeah.
But that dynamic still hasn't changed in hockey, right? When you get on the ice, it still feels like, they don't like you.
You don't see a lot of buddy-buddy out there.
No.
And again, that's one thing that it hasn't changed too much. Guys are definitely more friendly and more respectful than they used to be. But again, you don't really see that as a fan. You got to look behind the curtain to see that. So again, I think that's a positive for certain sports in that fans want, they're getting in fights in the stands
yes.
with other fans. They want their players to care that much as well.
That's a great point. I mean, how many times do we see that now in social media?
They're fighting in every single one of these stadiums with different jerseys on, and they want their players to care that much as well.
Yeah. All right, let's do some leads. Let's go, Jackson. We got a lead thing? Oh, there we go.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Yeah, all right, well, so I have to tread this topic very lightly.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be a banger right here. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm just going to read a list of items to you, and then we're going to have to use our imaginations as to where they ended up on a person's body.
Are you all right?
Yes. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about in a second. All right, so a cylindrical wooden block, cooking spray, a shampoo bottle, 3 AA batteries, 2 AA batteries, a 50-cent piece, a tail of a toy dinosaur, a baby shark toy, a cigarette lighter, and a light bulb.
All things found in the shower when you fell twice.
Yes.
Oh, God.
No, all things found in the human body.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where?
Who's by
you?
No. But this is a list of things found in the human body over the last year or so.
Oh, 2024.
Wait, where did
what
this list come from?
A website called defector.com. Marbles, darts, plastic lemon, fake banana, jello mold, a board game piece, metal toilet paper holder. And the list goes on and on. It's 9 pages long.
Have we vetted this website? I'm not going to be honest with you. Like, have we vetted this website?
It's a database from emergency room visits.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll take your word for it.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld. I don't know. I don't know how it got there, Doc.
Fusilli Jerry, yes.
Yes, Fusilli, exactly.
Hey, listen, 2024, it's going to be known for something.
Yeah, it was a very active year.
Thank you for defining that, Jackson.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You know what, Bradford? Why don't you follow that one up with your lead?
Mine is one that I'm gonna want to rant.
Really?
For a while.
Okay, mine's pretty sportsy, I gotta go straight. Let's go
with the Razor. It's Razor.
I'm very sportsy, and Razor, I always take the opportunity.
Something's permeating in his head right now.
No,
let's go.
Absolutely getting off of that last one ASAP. I like doing the NHL because it doesn't get talked about a lot. But the Boston Bruins are a pretty good hockey team. Joe Sacco is a pretty good hockey coach. He is 11-4-1. So if you hadn't been paying attention the last month, folks, because it is the middle of the NFL season, but the Patriots are done now, and it's time to start looking at hockey and digging in now that we're getting to about the halfway point. Christmas is kind of, or the holidays are kind of a halfway point for a lot of NHL players. We're halfway through, and the Bruins are good. We said they were going to be good. They had a terrible start. They fired their coach. Everyone wanted to jump, trade everybody. Brad Marchand's old. Their goalie, da-da-da. They're a good hockey team. 11-4-1 their last 15. They've got 4 quick games out of the gate here before the 2025 calendar year. And this team's cooking along pretty good. So start paying attention to the Boston Bruins. Flip off the Pats.
So you made me think about, because you said everyone's focused on football. We have the NBA basketball games. I'm refreshing Twitter every second of the day for Red Sox signing Alex Bregman, all that stuff. But I wonder if for hockey, like, what is the thing if they had the Netflix day, right? If they had the Netflix, and the first thing that comes to mind is the Winter Classic. And I think that, and you tell me if the luster has worn off that at all, because when it first started, it did the exact same thing that Christmas did for the NBA. It was a signature, singular thing that highlighted not only the games, but the personalities as well.
It's become a little more regionalized now. The Winter Classic's going to be in Chicago this year. It's a huge deal in Chicago. It's a huge deal in St. Louis. They've followed the team for the last month. They have a great show, that Road to the Winter Classic, where they're following these teams for the 4 weeks prior. You get a pretty good look inside of these guys and their families and the holidays and all that entails it. But I think where the game is very, very important, but not quite the same stage. You're doing a lot of stadium games. It's not quite the same nationally. I don't think we care as much in Boston what's going on with the Blackhawks and the Blues
at Wrigley
Field.
The first time it was everything,
because this is amazing. Yeah, yeah. Wow, we've never seen this. What a great... And it is a very cool event. Hockey people will tune in, and I'm sure non-hockey people will tune in to see what it looks like at Wrigley, see the start of it, but the actual game itself doesn't matter as much as what it did the first time they did it. So it's become a little more regionalized, and the places want to have it. Every team wants to have it because it is such a cool event for their players, for their fans. But again, it's not like it's going to be the Super Bowl or something like that.
No, but it's a good thing. Hockey, all sports need something, right?
Correct.
They need something. And the problem is, to your point, it sort of dissipates as it goes on.
That's right. You have to keep people's attentions. Yeah. You get 15 minutes and then they're on to the next thing.
The Winter Classic to me feels more like the Field of Dreams game that they did, where it's a singular thing and it's like...
The baseball Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
That did nothing.
Like, but it's more about like the pageantry
the look of it.
Around.
Oh
it.
Yeah, what was the one?
Everybody getting into
Lake
it
Tahoe
in that
or
location.
Yeah, no, well, that was over COVID, so they didn't have any fans. So
but
it was amazing.
The,
it was
yeah.
brilliant,
was awesome.
And we didn't needed something at that
yeah,
point in our lives
yeah, yeah.
in a big way to get our heads around. That was cool because that's something you couldn't ever do anywhere else because you had to go somewhere where there was no fans. You can't do Lake Tahoe with 30,000 people. There's nowhere to put them. So that was cool. And again, you have to keep evolving. I think, honestly, you go to Netflix and these what hockey's done a couple times now is put all the games on one night. Mm. And you did that in October on ESPN, and you stagger all the games so you can watch a full hockey day. That's been cool, and that's been well received. So I think you do more of those, similar to why NFL is what it is, because you can sit on your couch all day Sunday long and watch games.
I also think the 24/7 construct is so awesome. The problem is, you know what I'm talking about, the lead-in, the following the teams leading in, and mm-hmm. I know that they did that for the Winter Classic. That construct is, I mean, you care about boxing matches, which you just simply would not have any desire to watch at all. But the problem is that now there's too many of them. Like, there's too many. Remember the Behind the Bee thing, how even though the Bruins controlled it and said, hey, okay, let's show everybody how we traded Tyler Seguin. But the Behind the Bee thing was, at the time, oh my goodness, we get to see these people. It was a big thing. Now we're seeing more and more, culminating in, for the next year, the Red Sox one, which is going to be, you know, this beyond, it's next level, because it is 8-part series. It is Netflix. It's not just the one-off HBO thing. But that construct, they all know. This is why the Red Sox did it. Because they know that construct is good for business, much like the Winter Classic.
Well, and there's a template that needs to kind of be switched on that too, right? Everyone's followed the same template, and we kind of get the same similar stories. And that's the key is for the people that are producing the show to find a different angle. It's all about finding a different angle because, again, that template has been done over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Let's go home and see their kids. Let's go home and see.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you do the hard knocks. You have to find kind of a different way. And again, at the end of the day, the best hard knocks are the ones that have the craziest personalities, the most outgoing drama. And that's hard to manufacture certain times. So, listen, you guys have all followed professional teams. There isn't always a lot of drama. Like, a lot of times, this is pretty monotonous at certain times. Like, I know people don't want to think that pro sports can be boring, but behind the scenes, it can be at times.
Sometimes
certain
it's
teams,
going to work.
You're
going to work.
What's the best Andrew Raycroft team that you would say that Netflix should have been following this team that you were on? And give me the best story that they missed.
No, that's not happening at 6:42. I could write a book on it. I would say.
You want to? We could write one together. Don't let Bradfo in on this.
No,
I'll be your ghostwriter.
I got my stuff.
I'll be your ghostwriter.
Yeah,
okay,
go.
Perfect. I think the couple of teams we had in Toronto, like in the mid 2000s, were full of characters, full of drama, full of interesting.
Who would be the star?
Besides yourself.
Yeah,
I would have been the one laughing in the corner at everybody.
By the way, that's where you want to be.
I was always very good at stirring the pot from 20 feet away. Well, I mean, Matt Sundin's a star. He was the Hall of Famer. But you would have had guys like Darcy Tucker. You would have had, again, I'm going off random old hockey guys, but we would have had some interesting stories,
dinners.
The good old days.
But the second part of this question or this conversation is, would they have ever allowed it?
No. Like the best dramatic things that were going on were definitely not for TV in any way whatsoever.
But that's what I mean.
It would have got people in trouble.
With the Red Sox Netflix thing, they say that they have no control over it, right? Right?
Just like the Patriots didn't, yeah. Like Kraft didn't have anything to do with that show.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I would like to think that the only saving grace with the Netflix thing is that there's a hope that maybe they didn't control it, was that this same group did The Last Chance U.
Yeah,
the JUCO ones.
Well, you'll
which
get
was like people came off looking.
I can't
like
watch
crazy.
That. It makes me too sad.
Oh,
it's like too.
Well, get ready for the 2024.
No,
Red Sox.
Like the Last Chance U. Somebody told me to watch it. They were like, "You're gonna love this."
Yeah,
I'm like, I can't. This is like It's like watching Friday Night Lights, but real life stories. Like, it tugs at my heartstrings too much. It painful well, to me.
And the reason why, but the reason why The Last Chance U works, right, is because these guys that they're following, 90% of them, like 99% of them aren't making it.
It's like Hard Knocks.
That's literally their mm-hmm. Super Bowl, that show. And 90% of them know that. So they're more than willing to go out and be crazy and drama and start things so they can be they think it's like Big Brother or sure. one of these random reality shows yeah. where they can actually like build some kind of a social media following
off
of being the crazy person on Survivor.
Yeah.
And that's why The Last Chance U works, whereas pro sports, like real sports, these guys are that's secondary, like third, fourth, fifth. They don't want to actually be known as the idiot from Last Chance.
Well, year. And I think what some of the Red Sox people or players thought, they shouldn't have thought this way, was, oh, it's going to show the grind. It's going to show how hard we work and everything. No, man, like this is, and when, as the season goes along, it's the mundane season. It's 81 season or whatever it is. And you're like, well, they made a junior college team look interesting. A junior college football team. They're going to find a way to make this look interesting, and that's where you better be heads up about.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, we got more leads to get to. Mego, you haven't got off the CZ. All right, you got a good one coming up?
Yeah, we're going to talk about lads. Lads.
Look at you.
Lad McConkey.
Put my scally cap on.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Lad McConkey and why the Patriots are not allowed to draft any more receivers.
Hold that thought.
Ever again.
Hold that thought. Everybody, hang on. 617-779-7937. Keep the calls coming in. We'll get to them. We're going to get through Mego's lead, my lead. We got plenty of time to do it. This is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford, Andrew Raycroft, Megan Ottolini, Jackson Behind the Glass. Be back after this. Oh, I hit the post. All right, this is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Andrew Raycroft, Megan Ottolini, Jackson Behind the Glass. Jackson, are you constructing that poem trend for the 9 o'clock hour?
Yeah, I'm.
If it's a haiku, I will give you extra points.
I'm not that good.
Okay, you can do a poem though.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Give it a whirl.
It's the Friday after Christmas. Let's do it.
Don't say that. I hate when people say that. Every show's important.
They're giving
of course every show's
out.
Important.
Yeah. It's always all the kids. I'll see you later. It's Friday after Christmas. It's class reunion day. There you go. All right. Well, we have been doing the leads, and Andrew Raycroft had a great one about the Bruins being good. We'll get back to that. I promise you, Razor, from the depths of my soul, that I will talk as much hockey as you want. I feel like, because this is how I look at it, you got to talk about what you want to talk about, right? I don't think you want to probably talk about Patrick Sandoval signing, not pitching next year. It's like, no, that's okay. Because it's more interesting for people to hear you, an expert, talk about something passionately. So I promise you, this, if I do nothing else in the waning days of 2024, I promise you that we will talk.
What about me? What do I get?
You're going to get to do your lead right now.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll see. Then we'll go from there.
We'll
see
if you come.
We'll go with the same passion.
Timothée Chalamet.
And spawn the same conversation that Razor did.
When do we talk about Timothée Chalamet's performance as Bob Dylan?
Well, you cut it. You said, I said, we're going to give a review coming up later in the show. And you literally gave a review. Like, said it was
good. That was at like 6:04 in the morning.
That's fair. Reset?
Reset.
All right, Mego, what do you got?
Okay. My lead today is about the lad you're going to be seeing tomorrow, Lad McConkey, and why he is further evidence of why the Patriots are not allowed to draft receivers anymore.
Oh.
Like, this is just what it's going forward. We went through the N'Keal Harry era. I always liked Adam Jones's perspective of they should just keep drafting receivers high because do factor. One of these days you're going to hit on one. But now I'm done with that. I am so done. When you look at what the Patriots did in the last draft and the way that people lauded them immediately after the fact, they're sitting with the 34th pick overall. Lad McConkey is right there for the taking. They try to get cute, try to get very smart, trade out of it, and take two receivers basically with the pick swap that they get. They get Jalen Polk, of course, who's had 87 receiving yards the entire season. That's as many yards as Ladd McConkey had in Thursday Night Football last week against the Broncos in one game. Ladd McConkey will have 69 catches for 960 yards by the time that he walks into Gillette Stadium tomorrow. And this is a guy that you could have had.
And
instead, you got Javon Baker, on the other hand, who was supposed to be this huge bonus guy that you got for that trade, for that pick trade. And Javon Baker can barely get on the field as a returner. I mean, he's supposed to be this dynamic guy who came out and had this bombastic press conference when he was signed. And he's out there as a returner making fundamental mistakes. He can't even get past special teams, let alone on the field as a receiver in any kind of productive way. And so I look at it, and I know you're going to have a super high draft pick this upcoming offseason, and we're already looking at the draft, and everybody's saying, oh, they need a receiver. Oh, they need to go the Ja'Marr Chase route. You have your Joe Burrow and Drake May. Now go get your Ja'Marr Chase. Do you trust this front office and the people who have been picking receivers, not just last year, but even everything before that? You think, okay, you take Bill Belichick out of the equation. Somebody else is going to come in and be able to pick a receiver the right way. They did even worse. Like, this actually feels worse than the N'Keal Harry draft at this point, and we're not even through the season. So no more receivers for the Patriots. If you want a receiver, you have to go out and buy one. You have to go out and buy T. Higgins. You have to go out and throw a huge bag at somebody who's going to be traded to come here. That's how you get receivers. No more through the draft. At least as this front office is in place, you're not to be trusted.
I don't trust them to do anything right over the last 5 years. No, I'm being serious. I mean, they've lost benefit of the doubt over the last 5 years. And I went on this rant, I think it was on Saturday, and, you know, it starts at the top. I mean, it starts at the top since Jonathan Kraft in the, you know, really has taken over more of a responsibility. The Krafts are on an unbelievable bad heater. Like, that's what it is. And part of that is picking the people who are picking the people. That's what it is. And you look, you're right. And that, what you're talking about with Ladd McConkey, that's not a second guess. That's a first guess.
No, they thought that this was a master plan.
Right, but when that happened, everybody leading into that, like, why aren't you drafting Ladd McConkey? Because they're smarter than everybody, much like they were when they drafted kickers in the fourth round.
Bradfield, I shouldn't say everybody, because there's plenty of people who were defending Bill as he was walking out the door, or getting shoved out the door. But when the N'Keal Harry thing happened, a lot of people looked at it and said, that's Belichick being cute. That's Belichick thinking that he's smarter than everyone. That's Belichick being unable to take other people's expertise and scouting because he thinks he knows better than everyone. No, I think this program is just really bad at picking out receiver talent, whether it's even when Bill was here, sometimes with trades or free agency signings that they made. Like, even if you look at Jonnu Smith is down there and is basically Miami's offense at this point, and he couldn't do a damn thing here. So you can say it's also, I'm sure the wide receivers coach is going to be out the door, Hughes. He's going to be gone next season. But like that whole area of the team, for a young quarterback that you have in Drake May, the level of talent that he has, you got to figure some portion of that out. And I just think it starts with going and getting T. Higgins and maybe somebody else through a trade, because I just don't think that they're going to find it and develop it through the draft.
Used to. Like, we've been waiting for them to do things like they used to when they were like a wagon, whether it was Moss, Welker, and I keep forgetting who's the guy they traded in for the first round draft pick, ended up with the Saints, now with the Cowboys, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got they won the Super Bowl with them.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I'll figure out his name in a second. But the thing is that it comes back to receiver across the board, and receiver is a big part of this because it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable how you think that it couldn't happen again when they draft him in the second round. You think this can't possibly
what's
happen
more
again.
What's more likely, that in the upcoming draft that they're going to hit on a receiver with one of these high picks, not even necessarily the first round pick, but the next one, or that it's going to get blown up?
They've
again?
Lost all. And here's what it comes back to:
there's no benefit of the doubt.
That's what I'm talking about. There is zero benefit of the doubt. Even so, you come back to Belichick, where everybody and we were on the radio going through those years, and you're saying, "What are you doing? Drafting this guy here where he's projected to go in the fifth round, and you're drafting him in the second round," and people say, "Oh, blah, 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 blah." Bill Belichick has his way of doing things. Bill Belichick is gauging the way that he values players differently. Trust Bill Belichick, because he's won. Well, the problem with that is that It's a business decision. If you can get a guy in the second round, and that was always the problem with Belichick, and he could keep doing it because every time he did it, nobody was criticizing because he had the ultimate benefit of the doubt, right?
Were you thinking of Brandon Cooks?
Yes. Thank okay. you. Thank you. Yes. But think about that, though, is that people forget that. They traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, a receiver, and it worked out pretty well. And now the idea of doing that is so foreign. And you go through the receivers that is actually a really, really good receiver like class in the first round. Marvin Harrison Jr., who is, you know, friend of baseball's and boring program, says that the hitting a home run is better than catching a touchdown. But like he's actually of the top five receivers being drafted, probably number five in terms of numbers. He's caught 7 touchdowns, but he's got 51 catches. He's still, I would take him. He would help. But you wouldn't draft him over Drake May. I mean, that's
no. Yeah, well, yeah. The quarterback always. No, and I was saying this last year when we were getting tons of calls about Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm like, get out of here. You need the quarterback. I'm so glad I was right about that. I'll continue to do victory laps.
Well, your guy.
Anybody.
I mean, we can talk about this later too in the show. Is that we were coming off that awful game last night, 6-3. Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel! Even the NBA might have outrated that.
Stop it. I mean, I'm not going to, you know what? We're in the 7 o'clock hour now. I'm not going to let these veiled NBA shots go on for 3 more hours of this show. I am not going to say. You're like,
Razor,
we can talk hockey all you want. Razor. Oh, Razor.
Megan, you stay over there.
You never get to talk hockey. And you know what sucks? The NBA.
Listen, as a high school basketball coach, you know I love isolations more than anybody. But still, I want to learn. I'm here to be educated, and Razor's going to educate me on hockey, much like you're going to educate me on many, many things, including the NBA, including
why the Patriots. You should be like,
what are you doing?
Your receiver license is revoked.
It is painful.
And then, we took the keys away from Grandpa. You're not allowed to draft receivers for the next 5 years.
And then, by the way,
the other
guy coming in, Joe Alt, like transcendent offensive lineman.
Yeah, go get yourself a big fat guy. That's what you need in this draft.
He's one of the best big fat guys.
You got to buy your receivers. All right. That's where you're at.
All right, I still have not done my lead. But we're going to come back to all the things that we talked about. Razor's take on the Bruins. Mago has a great take on Ladd McConkey and also the Patriots' ineptness when it comes. This is going to be a reminder, a slap in the face when the Chargers come into town and say, hey, you know what? We have good receivers and you don't. And I also have a lead that is born from something a football player said.
I thought you were going to say boring.
I mean, maybe boring, but it's born from something a football player said. So we'll get to that.
Okay.
Jackson, Mago, Razor, me, Rob Bradford. We'll be back after this.